Thank you so much, Bev and Pat, for being here, and your work just means so much. You know, we sometimes take for granted the fact that we just walk in and we just grab our Bible off the shelf and we get ready for church and we just bring it, and we forget that there are millions and billions of people all over the world who either do not have access to a Bible or, as you mentioned, on some college campuses, don't care. They don't understand what they're missing. And so these people have dedicated significant portions of their life to sharing the Word of God, to making sure people have access to it. Please open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to be reading verses 12 through 13. For the Word of God is living and effective and sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as to divide soul, spirit, joints, and marrow. It is a judge of the ideas and thoughts of the heart. No creature is hidden from him, but all things are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Please join me in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time of worship, through this time of giving, through the time of singing worship songs to you, through Bev and Pat and their testimony of what the Gideons are doing in Lee County and all over the world, Father, for the billions of Bibles that they have been giving out since the existence of the Gideons. We thank you for your word, for what it means for us, Father. And we pray this morning that we would just slow down and appreciate the fact that you have given us the word. Speak to us this morning through your Holy Spirit, through the message that you've given to us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have figured out we're taking a break from our series on 1 Corinthians. We're going to go with the Gideon's theme this morning and talk about the Word of God. In the 1500s, the Bible was written in one prominent language. That language was Latin. And it was written in Latin for a reason, because it was written for the people who would most likely be reading it, mainly scholars and clergy. If you were not scholars or clergy, then there really was not a Bible for you. If you wanted to know what the Bible had to say, you went to a scholar or a clergy member. There were a few people who had problems with this. One of them, and probably the most prominent, was a man by the name of William Tyndale. In 1521, William Tyndale, who was a scholar and a member of the clergy, so he was able to read the Bible, and he was meeting with some other members of the clergy, and one of the members there, who later Tyndale would refer to as a learned but blasphemous clergyman. Yikes. They learned but blasphemous clergyman. They had this conversation, and the clergyman made a claim. He said, "We had better be without God's laws than the Pope's." In other words, we are better off, if we have to sacrifice one or the other, we're better off sacrificing the Word of God for the Word of the Pope. Tyndale responded, he said, "I defy the Pope and all his laws, and if God spares my life ere many years, I will cause the boy that driveth the plow to know more of the Scriptures than thou." At that point, he began translating the New Testament. In 1526, a full edition of the New Testament was produced. It was copied, and the copies were smuggled into England and Scotland by ripping out the pages and putting them in between legal books so that they could ultimately get the full word. This translation was condemned in October 1526 by Bishop Tunstall, who issued warnings to booksellers, bought all the available copies, and had them burned in public. In 1529, William Tyndale was publicly condemned as a heretic. In 1535, Tyndale was arrested. He was held in prison for a year and a half. Although the Bible translation itself was not illegal, he was found guilty of what they titled Lutheran heresy. In other words, speaking out against the Catholic Church. He was sentenced to death. He was strangled and burned to death for his crimes of making the Bible easily read and more accessible. And at the stake before his execution, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, open the King of England's eyes." Within 4 years of Tyndale's death, a sequence of four English translations of the Bible were published in England at the King's order. William Tyndale lived his entire life with the firm conviction that everyone should be able to read the Word of God. And he literally gave his life. He died a martyr's death because he believed that the Bible should be made, one, in a language that people can understand, and two, available for people to grab. That's, ironically, that has always been criticized throughout history. There have been people who have tried to minimize the Bible. There are people who have been burning the Bibles. It is a common practice in many countries when they're persecuting Christians to force them to discredit the Bible, sometimes even to spit on the Bible or do worse to it, because the Bible is the symbol of everything that we believe. The Bible is where the power of God lies. And so when we declare this is the Word of God and we put it in people's hands, we are literally sharing the gospel. I'm not advocating for a drive-by, pass somebody a Bible and move on. And I don't think Bev or any of the other Gideons would too. There's always an element of verbal evangelism, but it always goes hand in hand with giving them the scripture, with giving them the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4. Nobody really knows who wrote the book of Hebrews. Many believe it's Paul. For the purposes of today, I'm going to say Paul said, but I really mean the author of Hebrews. But in this passage, Paul writes, and he's just quoted a significant passage of scripture, and it's a deep passage that we don't have time to get in. It talks about the rest of God, and talks about the Sabbath rest and resting in God. And if you have a chance, go back, and it's a powerful passage that we will not get into this morning. But he's just finished this whole exposition, taking from the Old Testament what it means to truly enter God's rest. And it appears that he has a complete change of subject. He says, for the word of God is living and effective and sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as to divide soul, spirit, joints, and marrow. He says, the word of God, remember, it's almost a change of subject, but not quite. Because Paul had just spent a significant amount of time reading Old Testament scripture and applying it to our lives and to our salvation. And then he takes a step back and says, you need to understand that when I quote scripture, this is not haphazardly. This is not advice. This is not a random proverb. It's not a fable. It is the word of God. And the word of God is what? It's living and it's effective. And it's sharper than a double-edged sword, penetrating as far as to divide soul, spirit, joints, and marrow. Think about what Paul is saying here. A double-edged sword that divides you, it splits you more than any human sword can, dividing soul, spirit, joints, and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Some versions say the ideas, thoughts of the heart. It is the only book in the world that can pierce straight to your soul. No creature is hidden from him, but all things are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. It says, when you go out and you proclaim the word of God, it is the only tool in the world that has the power to pierce to the very soul of the one who receives it. It's the only tool that can open you up and split you apart and expose you naked. Some people have viewed the Bible as almost a mirror. In fact, the book of James actually speaks of the law as a mirror, where you look at it, and as I look in that, and I got to be careful how I say this because you can border wrong, but when you look at that and you can see yourself, okay, I'm not saying you read yourself in every passage of Scripture. There's a way to read the Bible. That's not what I'm saying. But when you open the Bible and you read, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, that applies to me. When I look at myself, any ego that I had is instantly deflated. It's instantly severed when I recognize what the Bible teaches me about myself, that I am a sinner in need of salvation. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely. The Bible is the only word, the only passage, the only book in the world that when you give it, when people read it, the Word of God, the Spirit of God acts. There's no theology textbook. There's no substitute. There's no letter you can write. All those are great things, but none of them compare to the Word of God. As we meet this morning and we recognize the fact, I'm very hesitant, okay? I love everything the Gideons are doing, but I don't want to put, you know, the Gideons up on this pedestal, mostly because the Gideons don't want that pedestal. The Gideons have spent their lives saying, there is a pedestal. That's where the Bible belongs. And so the Gideons have committed themselves to saying, you know what? The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating even to divide soul, spirit, joints, and marrow, and judging the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And so the best thing that we can do as followers of Jesus Christ is make sure we get it in as many hands as we can. What are we going to do? We're going to give it out at hospitals. We're going to give it out at hotels. We're going to give it out at schools. We're going to give it out in prisons. If there's someone with a hand open asking for the Word of God, we want to be there to give it to them. I'm so grateful for them, and there's others as well. There are groups like New Tribes Missions who purposely go into these purposely, you know, foreign areas where a lot of them don't even have a written language. And so they go and they actually create a written language so that they can write the Bible in that language and give them a Bible. The Gideons have worked so hard to translate. How many languages did you say? 1,800 languages. Most of us cannot name 1,800 languages. And yet, the Gideons have translated it into 1,800 languages. Why? Because there's at least one person in each of those languages who needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. This morning, as we enter our time of invitation, first, I want to publicly thank them. I've done it a couple times, but thank you so much for what you do. I know we have several other Gideons in our congregation. Thank you for what you do. If God has laid something on your heart this morning, maybe it is to join the Gideons. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's just, you know, there are these people who need to hear the Word of God. Maybe I need to keep a Bible in my car, in my glove box, in my trunk, because I never know when God is going to give me an opportunity to put the Bible in someone's hands, to share with them the hope of Jesus Christ. Maybe this morning you're like, you know, I knew the Bible was important, but I kind of took it for granted. My Bible sits on my shelf, I pull it out every Sunday, and I had no idea, I had no comprehension that there are people all over the world who are starving, not necessarily for food, not necessarily for water, but they're begging for a Bible. They're begging to hear the Word of God and to be able to read it for themselves. This morning, would you commit yourself to spending time in the Word of God? To digging in and studying it and learning it and memorizing it and making sure that the people around you have a chance to read it as well. After a time of invitation, we're going to talk about ways that you can support the Gideons, but right now I'm less concerned with the practical aspects and more concerned with the heart. We'll talk about practical afterwards. Right now, would you commit yourself to making sure that people in your life and people all over the world who are waiting to get a Bible are able to get it? Please join me in prayer. Father, I thank you for this time as we spend time in your word, as we dig into Hebrews 4, and as Bev quoted Isaiah 55, and so many passages that talk about the importance and power and effect of your word, Father. We pray that you would open our eyes to what it means to hold the word of God, to what it means to cherish the Word of God, to allow the Word of God to enter in our hearts. Father, the psalmist cried out. He said, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And we recognize that so many millions and billions of people in the world are walking around in darkness. We thank you for what the Gideons do. We thank you for what so many others have done as well, Father, as far as what Tyndale has done, translating the Bible in a way that people can read it. For the thousands of languages that the Bible has been translated by the Gideons and others so that these people can read your word for themselves, can cherish it in their heart, and accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that you would allow us to commit ourselves to sharing your word with those who need to hear it, whether that be through giving, whether it be through praying, whether that be through joining and actually going, but that we would all have a part in declaring your word to a lost and dying world. We ask for you to move in this place this morning, that your name would be praised and lifted up for all to see. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.